the acceptable Christian sin of gluttony. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Paul is writing, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. And I know some of us do not think this is the case, but the little fun, pleasurable sin, acceptable sin of gluttony is a sin that we as Christians commit. Not all, thank God. But it makes us, because of the testimony it shows to the world, it makes us enemies, in a sense, of the cross. I know that's hard for you to get your head around, but it does, because it sends forth a terrible testimony to a dying and lost world. I believe with all of my heart that a lesbian lady sent in a prayer request yesterday because she finally saw somebody own up to the sin in the church of gluttony, which shows itself in our protruding stomachs and our big, extra big behinds and hips and thighs and everywhere else. And people, while they are listening to you saying praises to God and listening to you preach the word of God, they cannot help but notice that you are a glutton, that you eat more than what you should. And they're saying to themselves, particularly if they come out of the New Age movement, that you complain about not having enough money to help hungry children overseas. They're saying in their mind while they're listening to you, saying praises to God or preach the word of God, that you could save thousands of dollars a year to give to the poor. But you are stuffing yourself with money, food that you buy with the money God has given to you, instead of helping the poor around the world. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mine earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our conversation is not down here. Who shall change our vile body? And oh, how vile it is, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We'll deal with this later, but they accused Jesus of being a glutton and a wine bibber, and of course he was not. And they accuse us, and we are. Let's pray. Holy Father God, help us today as Christians to see this sin of gluttony as wicked as we see other sins. And grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to start doing practical things to repent of this sin. And help us to have a good testimony among the lost, so that they would come to know you as Savior. And help us to at least acknowledge the sin in the church, the acceptable, quiet, pleasurable sin of overeating and stuffing ourselves. Forgive us of our sins and help us to repent. And help us to show the world that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we can have self-control and not overeat to the point of embarrassing obesity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. As I have shared before, ladies and gentlemen, this is an uncomfortable subject for many of us. But if you listen and take heed, this particular series can not only change your life spiritually, but it can save your life physically. Wouldn't you love to live till at least 70? 80? I'm talking about not in a nursing home, I'm talking about with vigor and energy. According to the CDC, more than one-third, 36.5% of U.S. adults are obese, and many of that number are in the church. We're some of the most soft people in the nation. As we continue looking at this particular passage from the Word of God, we recall that Paul compares his own pursuit of spiritual growth with the laziness and the slothfulness, which are the first cousins, if you will, at least, or maybe brothers and sisters, of those who are content to remain as they are, those who are gluttons. He urges his readers, "Be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." You might recall that Paul talked about fasting often. Paul was not an obese Christian. In other words, he is saying here, follow my example of vigor and energy and diligence. Don't follow the example of those who are slothful in their spiritual walk and in their life, couch potato Christians or professed Christians, because their end, the result of their current mindset and behavior, is destruction. Now, according to Thayer's Greek lexicon, the Greek word translated as destruction not only refers to the destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell, but also the destroying of vessels, such as the body. When we overeat, when we overindulge, and we eat the wrong things, when we commit the sin of gluttony, we destroy our bodies. Sin often results in physical ailments. People who live a lie, their body is affected by that. The destruction of the body. And of course, sin ultimately results in physical death. We know that. It is no less with the sin of gluttony. Fornication leads to STDs, so does adultery. Homosexuality leads to AIDS and other psychological issues. People don't like to talk about it, but there are many homosexuals and lesbians who commit suicide. Several did so this past week. Gluttony, which produces obesity, overeating, being overweight because of overeating, whatever you want to call it, certainly results in the destruction of the body, slowly but surely. It's a slow death, no doubt. but it's a painful death. See, the thing about not taking heed to this message and not dealing with this, if you're like me, you don't like pain. I don't mind dying. I just don't want to be in pain for years. Can somebody say amen? According to the National Kidney Foundation, being overweight or obese, and as I told you a few days ago, being obese is somebody saying you are obese is like saying a curse word to them. But being obese can cause serious health problems, including diabetes, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, high cholesterol, stroke. You don't want a stroke. Certain types of cancers, gallbladder disease, arthritis, breathing problems, kidney disease, and kidney failure. I have a pastor friend who had, we both have a mutual pastor friend, and we both told him to stop drinking those sodas. He just loved sodas, loved Cokes. How many of you know folk who the main thing they get at Walmart is cans and cans, dozens of Cokes? And my pastor friend knew him even longer than I have, and he told him not to keep on drinking those Cokes and sodas. And now he's on dialysis. He has to go in once a week to keep his kidneys purified, his body purified. I don't understand all of that, but it's not a good situation. So if you don't want to be in that situation, beloved, you need to stop. You need to stop this gluttony. And we can be gluttons on a whole lot of things regarding food. Food in general. Some of us are gluttons for sweets. Some of us are gluttons for certain kinds of foods. Some are gluttons of even health food. I see obese people when I go to the health food store, including myself, walking into the health food store all the time. And we load up on all the wonderful things that we think are healthy, and we overeat that, deceiving ourselves. Because eating is pleasurable, we don't like to associate it with these negative and destructive bodily consequences. But when lost people who understand that this is not healthy, this is not good, and they see you and you claim to be a Christian, that's a bad testimony to them, because they're saying you don't even take care of your own body. I'm reminded of a Christian boss, great guy, a former Marine. He had a wonderful employee, but she just would overeat and overdrink. She wouldn't take care of herself. She wouldn't eat right. And he fired her because he cared for her. He could not support that. He cared for her. He said, "Preacher, I just had to let her go because I can't help somebody who won't help themselves. I can't be a part of that. She was destroying herself. She wouldn't get any help. And I helped her by firing her. She had an affable personality and everything. And I knew the lady. And she always treated me nice and everything. But she wouldn't take care of herself. And he's one of these guys who believes that you ought to take care of yourself. You ought to do the things necessary to keep yourself healthy. But most sin is pleasurable. It is no different with gluttony. Very pleasurable. Very relaxing. A whole lot of fun. We enjoy the pleasure of sin. And by the way, if Serena Williams can have a baby and get back into her skinny jeans, if you will, then we ought to be able to do something. We may not be able to do like her. She just dropped a baby, just had a baby, excuse me. And she dropped that weight already. If she can do that, we can do it. No, we, you know, you know how tough it is to get that weight off when you have a baby. Look at me. And then you stay that way for the rest of your life. And then you get mad at your husband because he doesn't want to get with you as much as he used to because you're obese. And it disgusts him to see you sitting there at the kitchen table when he's going out to work eating a Danish. Talking about, I'll be here when you get back. And he says on his breath, you need to get on that bicycle I bought you in there. It is no different with gluttony. We enjoy the pleasure of sin, eating what we want when we want it, all the time, always eating, always thinking about eating. As I shared with you, gluttony is not only a sin, it is idolatry. We worship food. What you think about the most is what you worship. And many of us in the church have committed the sin of idolatry, the worshiping of food. We worship restaurants. We worship Chick-fil-A. We worship Chipotle. We worship Subway. We enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, eating what we want when we want it for a season, but the effects last for decades and often result in an early death. Pastor Cuthbertson shared with me that the issue about overeating and gluttony is that, and then what you eat, he says that people don't realize that it has a compounding effect. It accumulates, see? And that's how it sneaks up on you. And so he told me as an older preacher, so watch yourself now and make sure you eat right every day because it accumulates on you. So let me share another practical step with you in way of repentance. If you don't like to cook, instead of getting fast food and then cooking the wrong things, may I make a suggestion to you, along with some of the other suggestions I've already made? Go to the health food store, or to Kroger's, or to Albertson, wherever, whatever store in your town that carries a large section of health food items, and go buy yourself some Amy's bowls, spelled A-M-Y apostrophe S, Amy's bowls, and drink a Slim Fast in the morning, eat an Amy bowl around lunchtime, and then drink another Slim Fast, and break that cycle of gluttony in your life. This is repentance of sin. For all of us have done diets, we've done exercises, we've done this and that. But if you don't understand that this is a sin against God, as a child of God, you will never repent of this sin and you'll never overcome this problem. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for leading me to deal with this problem that most of us do not want to talk about. We hardly hear anything about it, if at all. But it's a major sin in the church. And it is a major embarrassment for your church, and it sets a bad example and a bad testimony for a dying and lost world and for younger Christians. And we as older Christians need to confess also the sin of not telling our children, our young people, the dangers of overeating and overindulging. Have mercy and grace upon us, and forgive us of our sins and help us to repent. We thank you for those Christians who do not have this sin problem, but they have other sin problems. Help them to confess and repent. And Lord, I know that you know many saints who could have been here, could have still been here serving you if they had not committed the sin of gluttony. And so many come to my mind as well. And Lord, you know who they are. Lord, we pray that you'll help us not to follow them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.